Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti, here at KEPW 97.3 Low Power FM, Peaceworks Community Radio, Eugene, Oregon. All right, today, it's been a rough week. I don't know if you guys are watching the news down there, but the snow, it's been snowing in Washington and Oregon, and I've been driving in it, so, and various other life happenings for me. So I'm going to play some stuff for you from my archive. But I'm in contact with a lot of groups that I'm going to be getting interviews with. And we're having next week the Environmental Law Conference. I've just been talking to the station staff here. We're going to hopefully broadcast from the Environmental Law Conference here in Eugene next week. So I hope you'll tune in to that. Today what I'm going to play you is... partly for selfish reasons, I want to digitize this. I have an interview with Andy Summers and Robert Fripp. Apparently, Andy Summers used to work at the music store that Robert Fripp used to have his Mellotron serviced at. So they've been friends for years. So they came out with an album in '82 that has since gone out of print. And so I have an interview with those two interviewing each other, talking about I Advanced Masked. And then a couple other things. You know, I know people don't like Genesis. They kind of sold out in the 80s there. But one thing else I will say about Genesis, they always had this thing called an evil jam on every album that they would play live. Because they are, most of them are good musicians. Tony Banks, the keyboardist. I don't know. Anyway, so I have this thing called Do the Neurotic. I think it's been released in a box set. I'm going to play that. And then I also have from Cancun, WTO meeting in Cancun in 2003. I have Native Americans talking about multinational corporations. Here on Talk is Cheap on KEPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Eugene, Oregon. Also simulcast on KEPW.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Thank you.
Okay, what is the indigenous declaration?
Yeah. It's called the... Oh, you're filming now?
If I can, yeah. Oh.
Well, indigenous peoples from different regions of the world got together the past couple of days to organize. We've been doing this since the previous ministerial meetings. We've been caucusing as indigenous peoples in order to put our minds and hearts together around this... this genocidal practice that's being perpetuated by world corporations. And it's indigenous peoples throughout the world that fully understand the repercussions that happens with this neoliberalism that takes place. It's a new form of colonization, neo-colonization, that's gonna not only impact our indigenous peoples, but it's gonna continue to impact all people from all races throughout the world. And especially those that cannot speak for themselves. And that's the animals. That's all the biodiversity. That's all the birds and the fish. Because it's us as human beings that have to start to protect the ones that cannot speak for themselves. That's why we're here as indigenous people, is to put a new consciousness that we have to reevaluate what our spiritual relationship is to this Mother Earth. We can't allow these corporations to continue to do what they're doing. There's no transparency, no democracy here. They haven't reached out to civil society. In fact, look at what's happening. Civil society is in resistance, but look at what's happening here. The corporations and the WTO, the trade ministers of the industrialized countries of the world, they have to use the military in order to protect themselves and shelter themselves, to have meetings. How insane is that? So that's why we're here, to put a stop to this, to mobilize with all the other allies that we have here, the farmers, the poor people, the women, the people around water privatization, the unions, indigenous peoples. We're here to all build this vast movement.
Anything on, I noticed they keep using the same methods with indigenous peoples. They deal with a minority of the group, like the tribal councils and the Native American movement. They deal with the tribal councils instead of going to the tribal elders and things like that. Any comments on that? About how they keep using this method here, including here in Cancun. It looks like they've made deals with
colonization and transnational corporations who feed colonization. They're based upon bringing down the destruction of society, civilizations. If we look at indigenous communities, we were very civilized. We had music, dance, we had culture, we had language, we had governments. But they destroyed that, because what they want is the land. In order to get to the land, they have to destroy the heart and the spirit of the people. That's why there's also a role that the churches have in all this. We have to get to the faith-based groups, the churches, to make a stand on this, because it was the churches and the state working together in the process of decolonizing indigenous people. So there is a responsibility of the churches. But yes, it's a divide and rule, divide and conquer. I mean, it's a divide and conquer tactic that the corporations have always used. They want people to support their agenda. If there's any leadership from our indigenous communities that are really leadership of clarity to fighting neoliberalism, there's always some way that the corporations and the state government find to bring down that leadership. That happens in our territories of the United States. We have IRA governments, Indian Reorganized Act, we have IRA governments that were formed by the federal government, but we also have still traditional leadership in the old societies that are still continuing. We also have new leadership that have been born, our youth that are coming up. Our Indigenous Environmental Network, we're a resistance organization of coalitions of traditional societies of people throughout, not only North America, but also throughout the world. And we're voicing out against this, and we're trying to bring back respect for one another. We're trying to recognize traditional knowledge, and also trying to decolonize ourselves, because this colonization is like a disease, and that's why we're trying to put a stop to this right now.
And then one other thing about the environment that I was going to ask too is if they extract and destroy all this natural environment, it eventually, in what way will that eventually destroy mankind and humans?
Definitely. Well, industrialization and colonization, they've always been afraid of the environment. That's why they, in the United States, they tried to destroy the wolf. They were afraid of the wolf. They were afraid of the creatures of the wild. They're afraid of the Native American because we're wild. See what they did in their own country. They destroyed their trees, and so they weren't able to feed their big fleets, their ships, their corporations. They destroyed their biodiversity. They destroyed everything that was wild in the old world of Europe, the dark forests of Germany. They were able to clear out the trees and kill the indigenous cultures, the earth-based religions of the old world. They drove them underground. They killed the snakes in Ireland. And you have to look at the Protestant, the Christian, and the Catholicism and how they were formed. You know, and the big fights they had in the Crusades, and how they erase earth-based religions. So this goes deeper.
I mean, we need those snakes and those creatures and things like that for our own survival.
We need these things because if we destroy the life forms that sustain everything in this universe, in this world, what do we have? We have genetically modified organisms to sustain us, but there is no spirit. There's no spirit to GMOs.
Diversity.
We eat watermelon that has no seeds. It cannot create. What are we eating on the shelves? They're even experimenting with our human genome. They're sequencing the human genetic information of all life forms. What for? It's going to end up being corporate control. They're going to be able to purge out human beings that they don't feel should exist. They're
going to
be creating cyborgs. They're going to be creating cyborgs. We're going to an area to where there could be definitely a matrix created, similar to the movies. This is where a crossroad that we're in.
Did you want to give your name and organization?
My name is Tom Goldtooth. I'm director of the Indigenous Environmental Network.
Thanks very much.
Now we only bomb brown people. Not because they're trying to cut in.
Don't push apart.
Now we only bomb brown people. Not because they're trying to cut in on our action, just because they're brown. Now, you probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, my mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. Now, to balance the scale, I'd like to talk about some things that bring us together. Things that point out our similarities instead of our differences. Because that's all you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs.
Sorry about the technical difficulties here. I don't know why that turntable is too slow, but let me just switch turntables here. And I'm afraid the Robert Fripp, Andy Summers interview isn't going to happen either. But I have instead coming up here from Cancun, WTO in Cancun, a guy snuck a banana tree into the WTO meeting. So I got an interview with him from Cancun in 2003 coming up. So just bear with me here. Eugene Peaceworks Radio, KEPW 97.3 FM. Also simulcast on KEPW.org. Yeah. And your donations are gladly accepted. And next week, Environmental Law Conference. So we'll be broadcasting from there. So things should go a lot smoother. Oh, I know what the problem is. Never mind, it's DJ error. When I had hair, it was blonde. Sorry. This EP, this is from an EP that's 45, not a 33. Basic DJ stuff. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. All right. KEPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Radio, Low Power FM, Eugene, Oregon. Show's Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susty, blundering through a show today. Sorry about that. There's these things called, these vinyl things called records, and they used to play at several different speeds. And I'm old enough to know that, but I screwed that up. Okay, and so also my, like I said, my Andy Summers and Robert Fripp interview, I swear that was on there, but apparently it's not. So I don't know what happened to that. And all right, so change of plans here. I'm going to give you some more stuff from Cancun 2003. This guy snuck a banana tree into the Cancun meeting, which was kind of difficult to do, but really cool. And so I interviewed him back then in 2003. And just as an aside, this was originally played on killradio.org as a radio station in L.A., an online station in L.A. that I used to work with. And I'm in contact with them. I may do an interview with them, too, coming up here. But next week, we're going to be broadcasting from the Environmental Law Conference. So I hope you will tune in for that, and I'll have people helping me so there won't be any novice mistakes. All right, so yeah, this is Cancun WTO, because the World Trade Organization and the IMF is what's causing most of the problems. Austerity, this guy that was the head of the IMF said that he was going to stop so much austerity. What they do is, in order to loan you money, you have to agree to not have social programs for your population, is in a nutshell. So in order to get loans. And I'm also talking to people about Venezuela right now, and that's what they're not reporting about Venezuela, is that most of their problems are caused by international loans to the International Monetary Fund that required them to sell all their natural resources at bargain prices instead of using them to help their own economy. And then they were, I thought it was Venezuela, if not, or Brazil, or all of them have had what are called vulture capitalists go down there. And these loans, they buy up these loans and then insist that they pay them back instead of taking a haircut or making a deal. So I thought it was Venezuela that had one of these vulture capitalists refuse to deal with them to make a deal and insisted that he get 100% of his money back. And also, of course, the Federal Reserve here and the powers that be manipulate the currency and the oil prices. And that's why Venezuela doesn't have enough money for to pay back their loans and give social programs to their populace. Whereas, Norway and I think it's Alaska, too. You realize the oil revenue that's under Alaska, everybody, if you're a native of Alaska, you get a percentage of the, I know you do in Norway, you get a percentage of the oil revenue goes to you because it came from your land. And they don't want to do that. They just want to, and Saudi Arabia, too. Although Saudi Arabia, they give it to just the royal family and let the rest of the people starve. So these are the resources, the money. It's not, whether you believe in capitalism or socialism, the money, the product is there that you're selling, and the ownership is in the people that live in the country, own that resource. So they should at least get something for that resource. You can't just give them $24 worth of beads and say, Bob's your uncle, have a nice day. So that's a little primer on the IMF and WTO, if you don't know those issues that I've been studying and fighting against. We were winning. That's why we had the Reichstag fire of 2001, in my opinion, is because we were winning. We were demanding that the IMF and the World Bank stopped doing this stuff back in 2000. And what do you know, all of a sudden, what part of World Trade Center don't you get? Yeah, the Reichstag fire of 2001. Okay, so here, a guy with a banana tree, and you'll hear me announce it on killradio.org also. But this is KEPW 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks, Eugene, Oregon, also simulcast on KEPW.org. Thanks for listening. And also, please support the Independent Media Center and Radio for All. I'll be uploading this and my other shows on radioforall.net. That's radio, the number four, all.net. The A Infos Radio Project, radioforall.net. Okay? Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Radio.org. This is some more stuff from the Cancun demonstration, September 2000, against the WTO. This is a guy that snuck in into the hotel zone where the convention front was. We were all in the back gate, is the closest we could get. So these guys snuck through a bunch of checkpoints and got in carrying a banana tree. He had banana tree karma. Coming up here, killradio.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Killradio.org.
Okay, I'll
I'm at the fortified today.
Sorry, for some reason this is in mono. All right, well, I'm sorry, I'm having archival issues here. I don't know why I label stuff wrong, apparently. But I know it's on here somewhere. Also, coming up, since I changed pace here.
We need to send the message that we are all empowered to do that in our daily actions. And so we brought a banana tree, and we brought an almond tree to symbolize that food and that new world. We brought seeds of corn and seeds of beans, which are representative of the people here. And we spread these seeds all over the streets as a reclamation of the people's agriculture. WTO needs to get out of agriculture. The people know how to take care of themselves. And corporate dominance does not provide, as we can see. And the lies that they speak of in there, the policies that they want to create, is only going to benefit a very, very few amount of people. So we're here to say, not only do we need to take apart the WTO, but we need to grow our own sovereignty.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And real quick, how did you guys mobilize in there? I mean, did you get people from this side to the other side? And you don't, you know, I mean, you say what you want to about that.
Sure, sure. Well, I feel that the power, there's a lot of power in being effective in these mobilizations that comes from being strategic and having a plan and not just randomness. So, and it's also about small groups working together, which is our power and our diversity, is those small groups working together. And that's the consensus, and that's reflective of nature. And so that action yesterday actually reflected nature in that small groups were able to infiltrate the hotel zone from a variety of different methods, acting like tourists or just using Jedi mind tricks to get in. And basically, we walked right in. We walked right through every single checkpoint, and we just didn't stop. We didn't answer any questions. We just walked. We had a determination. We had a goal. And I feel that the energy of the people, the energy of the earth, which really wants to stop poverty, to stop the destruction of all of life's needs, aided us in sort of creating a veil of protection as we went into the hotel zone. And to be honest, none of us knew how many were actually there until the moment happened. And from out of nowhere, the people came, and the plants came, and the seeds came, and mobilized right there. And I don't know what other tactics other people use, but we walked right in with determination.
Awesome. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Can you tell me what hotel or where is that entrance to the hotel? Or is it a hotel that you guys got into? Or
no, we blockaded the road in front of the convention center.
But you were able to bypass, to get past the blockade?
To get through every little checkpoint of just, you know, they got their security checkpoints on the road.
On the road.
Driving in, walking in, whatever. And we even had, I was carrying a big banana tree with the intention of planting it there. And my friend was carrying an almond tree, and we were carrying a big bag of corn seeds and bean seeds.
Maybe
and
that threw him off.
I think so. It's like the power of like the earth and the plants, and sort of like the message of like, let's build the world we want rather than let's just destroy the one we don't want, but like what's going to take the place of that? And it's like that message just throws people for a loop. It's easy for cops and enforcement powers to mobilize around direct confrontation. It's very difficult for them to know how to react when there are creative, beautiful actions that involve plants and a spiral dance and a variety of creative tactics that they haven't seen before.
I think there's an example of that in Nazi Germany, actually, too, where nonviolent, the army didn't know what to do, how to react to a nonviolent.
Right.
And because all they can think of is violence.
Right. And it was really powerful. We saw a movie from Big Noise Productions, the Fourth World War. And in that movie, it showed one part was the Zapatistas when they kicked the army out of one of their sacred sites. And they basically stormed the fence, and all these women and children and farmers. And they just were chanting, like, get off our land. Like, this is not your land. This is not your land. And the military, and they were totally nonviolent. The military just retreated and retreated and retreated and retreated. And that afternoon, they left. The military left. And they reclaimed. And I think it's that power of, like, the people are here. Like, and it's that sort of Gandhian tactic of, like, you can beat us up, you can kill us, but we're never going to stop.
You can't take away the knowledge and the truth.
Exactly.
It's there.
Exactly.
Do you want to give your name and organization?
Sure. My name's Eric Olson. I'm with the Green Bloc out of California, United States.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm with killradio.org as an independent media.
Awesome. What was your name?
Curtis.
Curtis. Lancashire. Good to meet you, Curtis.
Thanks. Thank
When you have the power to do your own things. Yeah. So that was a huge banner who was just hanging in the front of the convention center. And at the end, just a couple of buses came. The cops provided the buses, and they took us out of the place without any violence.
So change is possible throwing a rock?
That's the only change. That's the only way that the change is going to be possible. If we keep throwing rocks and doing aggression, at the WTO are aggressive to the people, then the change is not possible. You know, the only way to do the change possible is to doing again. You're going to the roots, giving proposals, and working together. You know, and that's much more than just throwing rocks or any kind of aggression. You know, a change is possible, and all the people here together can make that change possible.
No ways, because people are hungry. So what are they going to eat? So all those things we must look at. Now, if we can get land, then we can cultivate for ourselves. Then it is...
Killradio.org. Coming up, two spokespersons from the African contingent at the World Trade Organization meeting.
All right, that was something I recorded at the WTO in 2003. Thanks for listening. Sorry about the mono.
enough jokes, and I've smoked enough smokes. Now I'm feeling for the ropes, I hope no one took notes. My excesses are getting the better of me, I'm ready to go home. My excesses are getting the better of me, I'm ready to go home. I try not to notice that I've spilled my drink. As I slide towards the door, I start to think. My excesses are getting the better of me, I'm ready to go home. My excesses are getting the better of me, I'm ready to go home.
All right, that's Clark Kent, also known as Stuart Copeland, the drummer for the possibly the most popular band in the world. Can't get his stuff released because he might only sell a million copies, and the music industry will not release his stuff because they can't make millions of dollars off of it. So Stuart Copeland's solo work remains unpublished to this day. Let's see if I've got this queued up right here. Sorry about the mistakes here today. I hope you tune in next week. I've got to end on time because of the way our system works here. I hope you listen next week because we're going to be broadcasting from the Environmental Law Conference. Where is that? All right, this is it. Okay, thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Talk is cheap. Support independent media. KEPW 97.3. Low Power FM. Eugene Peaceworks.